So I hope you got your life point outline out with you this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of James, chapter 1. And we're in the series, as you've noticed on the screen, as we got started this morning, about doing the Word. And the emphasis right now is all about renewing our minds. In other words, God wants to affect the way that we think. Why? Because God says very clearly in Scripture, as a man, as a woman thinks in their heart. Well, we know he's talking about our mind. As we think in our mind, so are we. And so it's hugely important what goes on as a child of God between my ears, what goes on between your ears, how you think. And so this morning, I'm excited about this message. This has been one of the most challenging messages for me to put together because God has me here. And I just be right up front with you about that. Just some things that God is doing in me. And I try to be truthful with you from time to time. God does challenge me. He stretches me in a lot of different ways. And I want us to think this morning, I want us to think about the challenges that we face and how we approach them mentally, what goes on between our ears about how we look at those challenges. Sometimes we can be kind of whiners, or we can get angry at God because we're going through something that we don't feel like we ought to be going through as a child, a son, a daughter of Him. We feel like, you know, Lord, I shouldn't be having to go through this. I shouldn't be experiencing this in my life. And I believe this message this morning has the real potential to change the trajectory of your life. And so that's why I want you to think very clearly and very quietly in your mind this morning as we just go in God's Word. Because I believe that God is today, I believe He is calling men and women and youth to leverage their lives. That God has got something, if you belong to Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God just doesn't just call pastors. God doesn't just call missionaries. But that every one of His children has a call. There's a call. There's something that God wants you to do. And I want to show you through the Word how true that is. And that maybe what has been going on in your life that's been confusing or frustrating, that what is happening is you've been fighting God, you've been fighting what He wants to do in your life right now, and now God's going to help you understand what He's been trying to do, how He's been trying to communicate with you. Because God wants to leverage our lives to reach a lost world with the gospel. That's what we talk about. That's what we're about here on the hill, is getting the message of Jesus Christ out. That's why we're funding missions on the West Coast to for men and women to surrender to the gospel ministry and to go on different university campuses around the Northwest and even into Canada to reach out to young men and women who've never heard the gospel, they've never been confronted with the truth, and to teach them the gospel and that God loves them and He's got a plan and that Christ died for them. And there's so many that have not made a decision, and so we're supporting that work. We've got campuses that we're responsible for planning. And so God is doing something. God is working in this fellowship of believers. God's working in me. At this stage of my life, God is working. And I'll be honest with you, it's been frustrating for me. It's been really challenging that at this stage of my life, at 71, I know I don't look that old, but at 71, that God would still be issuing a challenge to me. At a time maybe when I'd be thinking, you know, God, can't we just kind of lighten up a little? It's not like I haven't been like on duty all this time. Could we just kind of, you know, back it up a little bit? And so I just say all that because I want you to understand that I'm not talking to you this morning about something that I haven't personally experienced, that God is not also doing in me. So I just want you to kind of get your hat on and your jacket straight and realize God's going to really maybe speak to you in this message this morning. And I pray to God that you'll be open to that. What I want us to do, I want us to rethink our challenges, the challenge that we feel like that God is issuing to us. Maybe you just had that sense. God's been talking to me. Maybe God's been talking to you in ways He hasn't talked before. And so I want you to hear this because I believe God's got you here for this particular time in your life. So let's look at James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. I'm reading from the New American Standard, which is one of my favorite passages in God's Word, or forms of God's Word. So James 1, 2, and 4. So James starts out and he says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers." And he encourages us in that, see, because we're not going to think it joy. We're going to think it like God is really being hard. But he says, "Consider it joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials." In other words, those times in your life where you get stretched, you get put in an uncomfortable position, an uncomfortable situation in life. We feel like there's pressure being put on you. He said, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that," here's what you know, "that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Now, that's a very important word, guys. I want you to note that word, endurance, because that's going to come up again. "And let endurance have its perfect result so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So God's goal is to form me into the man that he wants me to be, form you into the man, into the woman that he created you to be in Christ. This has been God's plan from eternity past, that through you coming to faith in Christ and me coming to faith in Christ, God would change us to be different men and women when the time comes for us to go home. Why? Because this is just like boot camp. This is not the end. God's got a whole lot more going for him than just 70 or 80 or 90 short years here on this earth. There's more God's got for us in glory. We're not going to be sitting around on a wispy cloud floating through the air for the next 80 or 90, 100,000 millennia. How boring can that be? God says, "I've got something." There's more that God's going to go. So what we're going through here is getting us ready for what's coming there. And so look at the truth in your outline. God is much more interested in our character than our comfort. And I've had to rethink that all over again, that at this stage in my life, God is saying, "John, I love you. And you've been faithful in a lot of things. I won't forget that. But I want you to understand, you're not home yet. You're still here on this planet." And so God is still seeking to change and mold my character as the man that he wants me to be. And that means that God's primary goal for you and me on earth is not to make us happy. That's not his primary goal. God's number one goal in your life and mine is to make us like Jesus. That's what he's after. That's what he's going to do. And what that means is we shouldn't expect everything on this planet to go right for us. That everything would just work out fine in our life. And so here's the next insight I want you to see in your notes. One of the ways God grows us up is by testing us. God wants us to understand what he's doing. God is reteaching me. And God is saying, "John, you're not done yet. At this stage in your life, you're not done." And so God is testing me. I'm getting stretched. And God will do the same thing in you. Understand this. God builds us up through a series of tests. And one of the things God tests is, first of all, he'll test my character and your character. What does that mean? It means that God will put you through tests in life to see if you'll always do right. Will you always choose the right thing? Will you always do right? Will that be the desire of your heart, to do right? So he's going to test our character. And then he's going to test our patience. How will you hold up when you are put under unending trials or challenges? When it keeps on going and it doesn't stop, will you hold the line? Will you be a man or a woman, heaven says, "I can trust"? Or when you get in a difficulty, will you crater on me and you just walk off? Can I trust you? Can I give you something to do and know you'll carry it out? And then he's going to test our faith. Will you keep trusting and believing even when I don't talk to you? And isn't that a hard time when we pray and we cry out to heaven and we feel like God is silent. You know, it's like you want to say, you know, hello, is anybody home? You know, is anybody up there? Because you're not talking to me. And so there are those times when you and I cry out to God, and even at this stage in my life, I'll cry out to God and I don't hear anything. God doesn't respond. And so what is God doing? God is testing my faith. And even at this stage in my life, after almost 50 years in the ministry of pouring in blood, sweat, and tears, there are still those times in my life when I cry out to God and God doesn't answer me. So don't think that what you're going through is something new. It's not. There'll be times God doesn't respond. And what does that mean day to day, week to week, month in and month out? Here's what it means. Guys, it means there is a purpose behind every problem in our life. If you belong to Christ, like this young girl testified, that she's truly given her heart and her life to Jesus Christ, I pray that's true. But we're going to know in days and weeks and months to come. Does that make sense? This is one thing. If we follow the Lord in baptism, that was what we're supposed to do. But God's going to test that testimony. Is it the real deal? And sometimes when you're going through a hard time, what's God doing? He's letting you see if you're real. Are you the real deal? Or do you need to get something right with God before the end comes? So there's a purpose behind every one of our problems. Problems are not arbitrary. It's not like a roll of the dice. Problems are not simply by chance. That's what God is saying. And the problems that come into your life are to, number one, as I said, test your character. Are you going to do the right thing no matter what's going on? Can I trust you? You're going to do the right thing. They're going to grow your faith that I will trust God even when it doesn't make sense and I'm not hearing anything. And does it increase my endurance? Will I persist? Will I keep going? Can God count on me? Will I show up? You know, guys who run businesses, they want to know, have I got somebody on my team working for me that I can count on? You know, when weather's bad or when times are hard or whatever, are they going to show up on Monday morning? They're going to be here whenever, you know, it gets really hard. They want to know, that is this somebody I can advance in the company? Is this somebody I can turn my back on and I know they're going to do the best for the company? God wants to know, can I trust you in a lost and dying world? Can I trust you to hold up that you and I will be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that come hell or high water, no matter what we're going through as a man or a woman or a family, that we will hold to our faith, because the world is going to hell in a handbag and we are on a planet that is dying. Satan is everywhere. And God says as the day approaches for the second coming of Christ, it's going to get worse and worse. And God's going to weed out all the false professors. And when the rapture comes, only those who are born again are going to go up. And then all hell is going to break loose on our planet. And that's a whole other series of messages. But just kind of, you know, that's what this is all about. So God is saying, I want you to know that you know in the things I'm doing in your life, because I know where you are. I want you to know where you are and that you truly belong to me. So every problem has a purpose. And you say, where'd you get that, Pastor? You know, that may preach well, but where'd you get that? Well, that's what our text is telling us. God is saying it is an exercise in futility as a child of God that I would expect that everything would go right in my life. And my hope this morning is that today's message, rethinking the challenges of our life, is spot on where some of you are, because it's where I am. And so this is kind of cathartic, all right? I'm just going to kind of preach healing to myself and help me. This is what God is just showing me in the Word. So maybe you're here or you're watching online and you've been praying something like this. Maybe you've been praying like, Father, I don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't know why life is so hard. And at this point in my walk with you, is it too much to ask that life could just be a little more predictable? You ever wanted to say that to God? Am I the only one? Somebody let me know. Y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I don't know. God, could life just be a little bit easier? Less struggle? More gliding through my days? I'd love to just glide through some days. You know what I'm talking about? Just love that. Well, God has heard your prayer. if you've been praying that. So hear this if you hear nothing else. There is a purpose behind every problem in my life and yours. And problems are not by chance in the life of a child of God. So let me just take everything that I've said so far. Let's put it down into a truth. This is in your notes, all right? Here's the truth. The problems, the challenges, the stresses that come into your life as a child of God are to check the endurance level of your character, that you will keep choosing to do the right thing, to check the endurance level of your faith, that you will keep going even when it doesn't make sense, and to check the endurance level of your trust in God. God's not talking, but I trust Him because of what I know about Him. Now, how does that statement translate into everyday life? Here's the translation, I think, of what James is saying. I think what he's saying is, in the midst of your crazy life, in the midst of unanswered questions caused by pain, loss, or difficulty, listen, here it is. Do you believe in the goodness of God regardless of what's happening in your life? Do you believe that God is good? See, there may be somebody here this morning or watching online, and you went through a very hard time in the past when God was permitting your character to be tested, when He was permitting you to go through a time that was very difficult. And in the midst of that testing time, listen, you walked away. And you just simply said, I don't understand what's going on. I'm done. I'm not an atheist, but I'm done. I can't keep doing this. It doesn't make sense what I'm going through. And so at some point in your life, you walked off. Maybe you walked off from working in children's ministry. You walked off from serving in the church. You walked off from being a witness for Christ wherever. You just walked off. And so what God is doing, God has got you in a place right now where He's coming to you and He's saying to you what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 6 and verse 66. The disciples were going through something that didn't make sense. And some of the people who were following Jesus, the Bible says, they turned away, listen, and walked with Him no more. And there will come a time in your life when you and I are struggling, and God knows we're struggling. We're finding it very difficult to go on with the Lord. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to speak in our heart, and He's going to say, are you going to also walk away? Because that's what Jesus said to those men and women. That's what He said to the disciples. He said, these have left me. Are you going to leave me? Are you going to leave me? And maybe you're at a place where you know you walked off. You've gotten out of ministry. You're not involved anymore. You still want to come because you believe in God. But now you're back at a place where God has put you in a position where you could respond like Job. In Job chapter 13 and verse 5, in the midst of pain and misery and loss and darkness, Job took a stand when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just ask God to just take you out? And Job looked at her and he said, though He slay me, I will trust Him. It doesn't make sense, but I will not walk off. I will not quit. I will not stop. Guys, this is what God is calling us to. That there will rise up a new generation here on the hill. Many of you are so young. You're at the start of your life. And God is wanting to know, can I count on you? Can I count on you? Will you bear the gospel in your generation? Will you reach out to men and women? People you work with, people you're at the gym with, people you're at the shows with, people you're around all the time. Can I count on you? Or will you become like the rest of the world? That you make a profession, but I can't count on you. You won't give yourself to work in the kingdom. This is what Job learned and all that he went through, and it's the same for you and me. God wants to grow our character. He wants us to be spiritually mature. He doesn't want us remaining spiritual babies. And so look in your notes. One of the ways that God grows us up is by testing us. And what I want to do this morning, I want to lean into three lives of God's faithful men. And I want to see what we can glean from their lives. And those men are Noah and Abraham and Moses. They went through tests that you and I go through, these same tests, because they're universal for God's kids. And it is God's will that you and I pass them. That's why he's given us the answers in the Bible so we'll know how to respond. All right, let's get into that as quickly as I can this morning. Number one, that is the first of all, the test of a new task. And our answer when God does that, when he wants us to start a new task, our answer is, what? What? Are you kidding me? You know, I'm not ready for this, all right? This is so real in my life. And God's going to do the same thing in you. This isn't a one-time test. We'll take it a lot of different times. But it's when God makes himself obvious to us that God's got something new for us to do. God's going to come to you, and you're going to realize it's his leading, and he's leading you into change. It's like you've got a sense that the winds of change are blowing. And God is going to like speak into your heart, and he's going to say, here's what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. And you're just going to know, all right, God's wanting my life to change. And God is saying, here's what you've got to begin doing this. And he's going to say, maybe, listen, the way that I've been working through you is going to change. How I've been using you in the kingdom is going to change. We're not going to do that anymore. Now we're going to do something different. Okay? That's what God does in our lives. And you realize, if you don't know this already, when God comes to us with something new, God's not asking for a vote. They're not saying, you know, how does this sit with you? Are you good with this? Or should I maybe go back, you know, and work on a change? But the reason we hesitate, the reason we're going to hesitate about saying yes is because it is so new and it is difficult for us to even think that we can pull this off. Because it's what God is wanting. Here's the insight in your notes. God will test us with new challenges that cause us to ask, what? God, are you serious? You know, like, I want you involved in children's ministry. I want you doing that. You know, I think that's the craziest thing. What? Me? No. You know, I want you to be a life group leader. I don't do leading well. I want you to host your home. Are you kidding me? I can't do that. I work. My wife and I work during that. We can't host a home. Or God wants you to go on a mission to the Northwest so that you can work maybe with your wife or just yourself or with your husband or whatever. And you're going to be and you're going to help these young couples who have put their life on the line. And they're on university college campuses where there are thousands of young people who have never heard the gospel or have never made a decision for Christ. And these couples are putting themselves on the line day in and day out to witness to people, many of them who don't want to hear it, but they're giving out the gospel witness. And we're going up and giving them a time to say, listen, we want you to just relax for the next couple of days, and we're going to take care of the kids for you. We're going to take care of them. And you can minister to them. So that they can get refreshed and that they can go back to their university campus and start reaching people for Christ. You can be a part of that. And maybe God is saying, this is what I want you to do. And you're like, whoa, what? I can't believe that. You see, these are Noah tests. Noah, N-O-A-H, you know, the guy with the boat. These are Noah tests. And they seem so big that it seems impossible. And it's an impossible dream or an impossible task that God is calling on you to do. It is a what test. It's like, what? What? When God asks us to do something that's so new, so different, we can't imagine ourselves doing it. It's like Noah. We take a step of faith knowing the only way it's going to work is if God shows up. Because that's a Noah test. So here's how the Bible lays out. Now, you're going to stay in the book of Hebrews, all right? Hebrews chapter 11. If you've got your Bible, just open to Hebrews chapter 11 if you haven't already. Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, it was by faith. What does that mean? It means it didn't necessarily make sense. It had never been done. Noah wasn't a shipbuilder. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a skill set that would enable him to pull it off. It's just he didn't do that, right? And so it was by faith Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood, and he obeyed God who warned him about something that, watch this, had never happened before. Up until this time in human history, the Bible tells us that a mist came up from the ground and it watered the earth, it watered the plants, it gave water to the animals. Put, you know, water back in ponds or whatever. And so we haven't seen that because it doesn't happen anymore. But here's the translation. Nobody could have defined, the reason it was such a challenge for Noah when God said, I want you to build this ark, is because up the translation, nobody could have defined the word rain. We mean flood. We don't even have showers. Does that make sense? So he's building a boat for a flood, and there's never been rain. It's never happened. When we are tested with a new task, it's going to stretch us because it's something totally new, and it's going to seem like it's impossible. And so the truth in your outline, all of us will go through the what test, and the what test is only accomplished by faith. So let me give you the big idea. Here's the big idea. Faith is facing the future without knowing what's going to happen. This is where God's got me. This is where God's got me. Now, I'm not saying anything to you that I'm not already saying to myself, okay? And so the whole deal is faith is facing my future without knowing what's going to happen. Just knowing that God is saying, this is what I've got for you. So listen, Noah built the ark by faith. There had never been an ark before. It had never been done. Noah had never seen an ark. Nobody had. No one had ever needed an ark because there had never been a flood because it had never rained. And so Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. Again, just so we remember, faith is facing the future of what God has for us without knowing what's going to happen. But we know this is what God wants us to do. So that's the first thing. Number two is the test of major change. Major change. And this is where your response to God is, where, Lord? Where? I hear what you're saying. Where? And so this is Abraham, all right? Look at verse 8 through 10 in Hebrews 11. It was by faith Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home. You see, that's the big change for Abraham. God said, I want you to leave home and I want you to go to another land. Now listen, this applies when God's about to relocate you. You're going to go someplace new. So Abraham is told by God to make a major move, a move through which God would give him as his inheritance. God said, I'm going to give you a new land. And so Abraham picked up everything he had. He went out not knowing where he was going, just the direction. God said, go that way. And this is a major change. That would be a major change for anybody. Would you agree? I mean, that's huge. Abraham is 75. How many of you here this morning? Do I have anybody 75? Not one. Am I the closest one at 71? Probably so. I know I don't look it, right? So, but Abraham is 75. All right, now just listen for a moment. At a time when we want security, I totally get this. You don't understand it now. You will. You'll come. At a time when we want security because of the changes in our lives, it's not that we want to huddle down. It's just like you realize, you know, life's changing. I'm not able to, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound anymore. It's different. And God calls Abraham to a life of insecurity at this time in his life. And I've thought about that a lot. I think Abraham's time with God would have gone something like this. All right, here, just imagine this conversation. God says, Abraham, I'm going to move you to a new country. You've never been there before. So Abraham says, well, where am I going? God says, I'll let you know. Just get everything ready. You're going to leave, and I'll tell you where. Abraham said, well, how will I know when I get to where I'm supposed to go? God says, don't worry. I'll tell you when you arrive. So Abraham says, well, how long is it going to take? God said, don't worry. I'm going to provide everything you need for as long as the journey is going to take. Then Abraham says, what direction do I take? How will I know that I'm going the right way? And so God would say, I'll tell you in the morning. I just want you to pack up everything. I want you to liquidate what you need to. I want you to be ready to move out. And tomorrow morning, I'll point you in the direction I want you to go. That's all you know. And from day to day, that's how we're going to operate. I want you to get ready. Every time I tell you to get ready to move, I want you to pack up everything, and I'll be there to guide you every day so you don't get lost. But you're not going to know from day to day where you're going to go. And so the insight and your outline, the second test of life, is a major change, and you don't have all the answers. You don't have a lot of answers. Why? Because it is by faith. And this is what God is doing. And the main question is, where? And some of you in our church family are in the where test of life right now. It's where you're saying, or you're sensing, God is saying, I'm going to move you, and I want you to get ready. And God will do that, if that's what he wants in your life. And he'll say, I want you to get ready, but I'm not telling you when, and I'm not going to tell you where. I just want you to know, I want you to get everything ready. You just got that sense, okay? I need to quit nesting, and I need to realize life's going to change. God's got something new on the horizon for me. Here's the big idea. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where. Now listen. And I want to qualify everything I'm going to say, all right? Please don't let your mind drift, or you're going to go out of here saying, I said something I didn't say. God may come to you at some time and say, I want you to quit your job. Well, what's my new job going to be? I'll let you know. Do not go out of here and quit your job until you know what God wants you to do. Well, you told me to. No, I didn't. All right? That's dumb. Unless you know that you know, this is what God's calling me to do. It scares the bejeebers out of me. Well, quit my job? But see, it's a test of faith. That does not happen all the time. But it happened with Abraham. And God said, I want you to get ready. I'm going to do something in your life, and I want you to trust me on this. And the act of faith is, I want you to quit your job. And I'll let you know what the next step is going to be. I want you to sell your house. Where are we going to move? I'll let you know. I want you to sell your house. I just want you to get ready. That's a work of God. Faith is following God's leading. This is the Abraham example. It is following the leadership of God when God closes one door without knowing what door he's going to open up. But God will do that. Abraham packs up all of his wealth, all his cows, camels, sheep, goats, servants, and he heads off in the direction God told him, having absolutely no idea where he's going or how long it's going to take. By faith. By faith. And said, number three, the test of a delayed promise. The test of a delayed promise is when we ask the question, Lord, when? 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 When is all this going to make sense? All of us get in this test from time to time. I mean, you can count on it. It's when you live life with a delayed promise. Right now, I've got almost a 20-year promise that I believe with all my heart God gave me, and it hasn't happened yet. And I'm like, was I wrong? Did I misread God? Lord, I haven't seen it yet. But what is happening here with Abraham, it's when you live a life with a delayed promise for God. You believe you had a word from the Lord that he's going to do this or that, but it hasn't happened yet. And it's where we keep asking God, when are you going to answer my prayer? When are you going to hear me? When are things going to change in my marriage? When am I going to get married? When am I going to graduate? When am I going to have that baby? When am I going to get that promotion? So here's the insight. Faith is following God's leading and living day to day with blanks instead of answers. And the issue is trust. And there are going to be times when God doesn't talk. And the issue is, will you trust me? Because you've got all these other times I talk like crazy to you. But when I don't answer, when I don't talk, will you trust me? Will you trust me? We're going to go through the when test a lot. And our text for this is Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Even after Abraham reached the land God had promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, his son and his grandson, to whom God gave the promise, the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And I want you to notice the word promise. It's used twice. That's hugely important, guys. And the truth in your outline, God wants us to build our lives on his promises, not his explanations. God said, I might not always explain myself. And I want to know, will you trust me? Will you trust me? You see, it all goes back to the garden. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. You can have everything else. And Adam and Eve believed the devil instead of believing God. All of our lives, God is seeking to see, are you going to pull another Adam and Eve on me? Are you going to trust me? I've already told you in the Word. I've given you everything you need to know. Will you trust me? See, God doesn't owe you and me an explanation now about anything in our lives. God's God. We're not. God isn't going to explain why everything happens. He's not going to always explain when it's going to happen. He's not going to always explain how it's going to happen. And you may be in this test right now. You're waiting for an answer, and there doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. And you're asking God, when, Lord? Is it time yet? When are you going to take care of this situation? When will you take care of this relationship issue? When are you going to help me with my finances? When are you going to help my health so that I can do more for you? And that brings us to the big idea. And here it is in your notes. The big idea is faith is waiting for God's timing without knowing when. But we trust Him. And you can know Pastor John has been waiting 20 years. I don't know how God's going to do it. But I believe Him. I do. And so I want to close with this. To follow God, guys, you got to learn endurance. You have to learn endurance. We live in a culture. We are surrounded by a culture that says live by your feelings. If it feels good, what? Do it. Does it feel good? Do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. That is a recipe for disaster. That can get you into so much trouble on so many levels. Here's the problem. You're not going to always feel like staying married. Sometimes you love them so much you can just eat them up. Other days you wish, God, I wish I had. You're driving me crazy. Why did I ever marry you? Because they're so delightfully different. And then it drives you nuts. You're not always going to feel like holding the course that God set you on maybe years ago. Some days it's great. Some days it's just like the pits. How do you keep doing the right thing when you don't feel like it? You don't always feel like getting up and going to work. Follow that and see where you wind up in life. You know, poverty stricken, right? You're not going to always feel like doing the things you need to do. How do you have persistence? I give it to you in your note, the truth. To keep going when you don't feel like you can, you do what Moses did. Moses did three things. He kept listening to God. That's being under the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word. Keep hearing from God. That's being in the Word of God. And keep staying connected to God. Father, I just want to walk with you. God, I don't want to be out here all by myself. Moses had a burning bush experience. You and I don't. Why? Because Moses wrote it all down. Look at the next insight. When you need to stick and you don't know how to keep going, you stop looking for a vision and you look for a verse. What has God said in the Word? You don't look for a sign in the sky. You look for Scripture in the book. Hebrews 11, 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt and he persevered. He endured. All right, let me fill in the rest of your notes this morning. Let me just give this all to you. Here it is. How do we make it to the end of our race that God has assigned to us? I'm almost 50 years into the race that God has set for me. And it's like, you know, that's a milestone. It's not the end, but it's a milestone. And so the thing that I ask myself, how do I make it to the end of the race? Because it can be really challenging. How are you going to make it? How are you going to get to the end of your life and you haven't brought dishonor to Christ, that you've lived well? How are you going to do that? Look at your notes. Living by faith is how you will follow God to the end of your days. You and I will never get in our walk with God where we won't be called upon to trust God because we can't see where we're going. You always have that. you can't see. So you have to trust. You'll never get to the place to where you don't have to believe because you don't know how it can be done. So you're just going to have to believe it, that he said he will. You'll never get to the place where you don't have to act when it doesn't make sense, but you just know it's what God is asking of you. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but this is what I'm supposed to do. It's all in the Word. This is how our God behaves. And look at your notes. Living by faith is the only way you're going to follow God to the end of your days. It's the only way. God has put a race in front of you and in front of me. And the goal is stay in the race. Guys, don't get disqualified. Don't get disqualified. Stay in the race. Make it to the end. Cross the finish line. So that the world will be able to say, I might not have believed what they believed, but I sure respect them because they lived it. They never lost sight of that. The challenge for you and me, do not walk off the track because it gets hard. Finish the race that God has set in front of you. God's got us on a race. Let's finish that race. Let's be what God put us here on this planet to be. You and I are here for such a time as this. And it's a good thing. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. When I finish, watch our announcements. Then you guys will be dismissed. And we look forward to gathering back with you next Sunday morning as we get in God's Word. Father, thank you so much for what you've taught us in Scripture. God, I just pray that this has filled in the blanks for so many people, that they understand even more how to walk with you. I know the temptation to walk off the track. There's a temptation at different stages of our life to just go to the side and sit down, to not be in the race. But you've called us to run this race. This is our time. This is our time to live for you, to make our lives count. And the big thing is for us to finish it and finish it well, not be disqualified. And so God, call your church back to yourself. Call us all here on the hill back to yourself to serve you and the purpose of our days. And for that, we'll thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.